Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And today I've got Matt Lee and Jeff Parker. They have debuted in AEW as 2.0, although they didn't tell me that during this recording. It was a secret. They were Everrise, the former WWE NXT tag team that just signed with AEW. Once again, they changed their name to 2.0. The signing was such a secret, like I mentioned, we didn't even talk about it. We sat down in my backyard to do this interview a few weeks ago. Matt and Jeff are Montreal boys who had quite an indie career before signing with WWE. They're talking about the events, two tryouts, and multiple appearances as extras that led them to a WWE contract and why their recent release from the company was so shocking. They joined many that were released and were shocked by it. They've got stories about working with the Dark Order, Stu Grayson and Evil Uno on the indies, traveling with Sami Zayn, and their friendship with Kevin Owens, who actually called in a favor with me to have these guys on before I even met them, and the assist Kevin gave them to better their WWE chances. They got tales about Terry Taylor, a great guy and a former mentor of mine, even a great story about their first face-to-face with Vince McMahon, and many adventures crossing the border back and forth between Canada and the United States with no visa. Ooh, I think the statute of limitations has run out on that. You'll hear the origin of the 2.0 tag team name, how they became Everrise at WWE, and they're talking about their very funny YouTube channel, The Show Rules, and how it got started. So Matt and Jeff, aka 2.0, AEW's newest tag team, are coming up here on Talk is Jericho, and so is Fozzy Save the World Tour. We're kicking things off September 2nd in Columbus, Ohio at the Newport Music Hall. If you're going to be in Chicago for All Out, don't forget we're in Joliet on the Friday, which is about an hour from Chicago at the Forge, and we're in Belvedere, Illinois on Saturday the 4th, which is about an hour and a half from Chicago at the Apollo Theater. Come join us at Kansasville, Wisconsin. That show is almost sold out. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, almost sold out as well. And go check out FozzyRock.com to find out all the rest of the shows, including Pittsburgh, Flint, Michigan, Cleveland, Ohio, Johnson City, Tennessee, all sold out. There are tickets available for the other gigs. Go to FozzyRock.com and see what is available and see what's available for the VIPs. We don't have many left either. I think there's only 7 cities that have VIP left for you. But go check it out. It is one of the best shows in rock and roll. We are on tour. And, of course, we're also heading to Europe starting November 30th in Manchester at Club Academy. That show will sell out. We're going to Newcastle, Glasgow, Dublin, Belfast, Birmingham, Swansea, Wales, which is sold out, London. We sold out in Nottingham. We're selling out all over the place. So go to FozzyRock.com and get your tickets while you can. All right, here we go. Matt and Jeff, Matt Lee and Jeff Parker of 2.0, starting now on Talk is Jericho. So this is a pretty cool and rare experience where I'm actually meeting the guys formerly Everrise, but basically for the first time. And as a favor to a mutual friend, Kevin Owens, my former best friend.
Oh, yeah.
He asked if I would mind having you guys on, and I said, absolutely.
Wow. I love the swearing right out the gate.
Yeah. Just get it out of the way. We
just
can swear.
You can swear, yeah.
We can swear.
Take it easy, but you can. So, but this is great. So it's basically Matt and Jeff, formerly Everrise.
Yep.
And I'm assuming that you guys knew Kevin from, you have a little bit of a French accent, but
a little bit.
I'm assuming you guys are from Quebec, maybe?
Yeah, from Montreal. We've known Kevin since we're all 16. Oh, so we kind of grew up together and came through wrestling together. So it's been a long road.
Oh, wow.
Friendship.
So you guys basically all came in at the same time?
Yeah. Like, we've known each other probably since 2002, I want to say.
Give or take,
2003,
yeah.
Maybe. Wow. Yeah, a long time.
So when we tried to get into wrestling, the first place that we could ever go to was Jacques Rougeau's school.
Yeah.
That's a whole story.
Therefore, believe me, I heard it from his end as well.
So. But that's where the first time we ever met Kevin, because he was a student there. So that's the first time we'd ever met Kevin. And then he left Rougeau after a while and started doing the Montreal Indies, and you become fast friends.
Yeah, because at Rougeau, you could only do shows for Rougeau, right? Like mm-hmm. for Jacques. And then Kevin wanted to branch out, and then that's when we ended up.
That was always the way back in the early days. We had a guy called, I don't even want to say his name. It's like if I said it to Luther, he'd punch me in the face. But there's a guy called Fred Jung, and it was the same thing. If you want to work for me, you only work for me. But it's like, but you're only running one show a month.
Right.
Like, how am I supposed to work for you and get $50? So there's like, and by the way, it's not like there's 40 other shows.
Right.
There's one other show to work on. Right.
Yeah.
But that's always the way for the early years.
How am I going to get any
better? How are you ever supposed to get out and network and meet people and get better? You know what I mean? Insanity.
But if
you want your students to improve.
Well, no, that's the cash cow. You got to keep them coming to you.
I mean, I always wonder what the reason for that is to maybe to establish some sort of kind of, every small-time promoter wants to be Vince, you know, so maybe trying to establish some kind of dominance maybe or something like that. Or like, you know, my place is better than yours, but I can never figure that out because like you said, when you first started, you should want to work as much as you can and have your guys getting better.
Even where we started was kind of like that, right?
It was.
Yeah. A place called NCW. I'm sure you're familiar.
Yeah, it was.
Of course. I just got their last pay-per-view.
Our trainer, Mark the Grizzly. Yeah, of course. You know him
world
very
famous,
well.
World famous. He was great to us, though, to be fair. He was very
good.
He taught us how to bump and collar and elbow and all that stuff, you know?
That's just about it. Soup leg slam, leg drop, elbow.
Collar and elbow. Right? Little lockup.
All in French.
Right. So were you guys a team from the start? Or
Pretty much. Right away. Yeah, 20 years. We've known each other since third grade.
Oh, wow. Grade 3, we can say it here. It's a Canadian safe space. We can say grade 3.
John Cena called us out for that. Oh, you guys are Canadian. How do you know? Because you said grade 3 or whatever.
Yeah, because everywhere here.
That's for grade 3. Yeah, that's how we say it. Yeah. Like grade 12. I still can't figure out.
I had no idea.
I still can't figure out sophomore, junior, senior.
Oh, I have no idea.
My kids are like, we're sophomores or junior. Like, which one is
junior high?
Yeah.
What's a junior high? Did you have junior high in Winnipeg?
We did. Grade 7. There we go. Grade 7, 8, and 9 is junior high.
Yes, we call it. When I moved to BC for a quick minute, we called it middle school.
Oh, see, I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what's going on, guys. I'm Quebec, born and bred.
So you guys have known each other since grade 3.
Yeah.
Is this one of those things where you guys said, we want to be wrestlers, or how did that kind
I mean,
of
that certainly as our relationship developed, that's what it became. Like, we became like the wrestling kids.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sure everybody kind of goes through that.
I was the same.
So, and that just forged our friendship even more.
For sure. And then you get all your friends who are getting into it. Because, I mean, look, it's the mid-90s, 97, wrestling. Everybody loves wrestling. Everyone's going around telling everyone to suck it in the hallway, right? That's just what
we
do.
And, of course, you got to start a backyard wrestling
You're not going to backyard wrestle?
Yeah, of course. Come on. Look at, first of all, how do you not have a backyard wrestling? This is prime.
Got to open up a territory.
It's funny. We're actually sitting in my backyard right now. And when the lockdown started, and at one point, we were still thinking about maybe doing Blood and Guts last year.
Right.
And there was nowhere to do it. I was like, why don't we do it in my backyard and do kind of one of those Inoki Saito, you know, island deathmatch things. There's a plenty of room here. Damn. But, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, there's a different backyard version here than you would at back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
Did you start a backyard federation?
Of course. Shattagy Pro Wrestling. Shattagy Pro Wrestling.
Shattagy.
That is the our hometown, Shattagy, Quebec. Yes, so Shattagy Pro Wrestling.
Not to be confused with Shakutomi.
That's another offshoot.
That's a I think there's a minor league hockey team there or something like that.
There is.
Shakutomi Pro Wrestling.
Patrick Waugh played there or something. Yeah, Shakutomi, not to be confused with Chateauguay.
Chateauguay, yes, exactly.
Chateauguay.
So, of course, we started wrestling, backyard wrestling. You start in the basement, of course, and then, as things grow, your promotion gets bigger, you got to look for a bigger venue. It's the backyard.
You move to the backyard.
Put up some garden hose,
Jeff's old backyard, he had a perfect setup. He had two trees. Okay, so we ran garden hose between them.
Yeah.
We only had one side hat.
My old man went and bought some garden hose, and of course, the first thing you got to do is an over-the-top battle royal, right? Come on.
See, but that's pretty cool. You guys had ropes.
Yeah, one side of ropes.
We used to just use it's probably very Canadian once again. It's a porta pit. It's like a probably, I'd say a foot high mat that you would use like gymnastics on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we would do our wrestling on that.
Yeah.
So I guess we had redone our basement at one point at my house. So we had some leftover carpet. And that's what we used. And yeah. We'd lay it down. My father would get so angry because it would just kill the grass.
Oh, yeah.
It would just kill the grass. We'd break the fence.
We'd use the deck chairs as turnbuckles. So if you want to do a high risk top rope, high fly, or if you jump it, we broke so many of those.
And these bloopers are pretty sweet.
Oh, you have them all on tape.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. What, are you going to backyard wrestle a nut?
Well, see, I'm an 80s kid. We didn't have a video camera, but it was the size of this table right here. So it was a different story back then. So, but the thing is, it's very rare, too. I remember when I first started wrestling and Lance Storm was in the same camp as I was. We were like, yeah, we'll become a tag team. And I remember people saying, well, there's no way you'll ever... And, of course, we were a tag team for a while, but it's pretty rare to say... I don't know if you guys were thinking to be a tag team, but you actually ended up as a tag team.
Yeah, somehow it was always, like, unspoken.
Yeah, it's in the yearbook. Yeah, that's what's in the yearbook.
Oh, is it?
The future WWF tag team champions. Yeah,
is that what it said?
Yeah.
It didn't pan out.
No, not yet. But you know? You were tag team champions somewhere.
Of course. Yeah. Shattucky Pro Wrestling. it was just kind of always the thing. It was just kind of like, let's just go for that.
It seemed like it would be easier to be successful in a sense. Like there's maybe less teams around. Does that make sense to me?
It's harder, though, because I remember when I first started that I remember – you know, trying to get booked, and this was obviously Calgary, small town Alberta. And I remember one time I had a chance to go to the States, but it was just me.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was like, you know, leaving Lance.
Oh, yeah.
Like a traitor a little
huge
bit.
Betrayal.
Yeah, huge betrayal. Yeah. And then he got to go to Lebanon without me. Betrayal. Like, why would you stick up for your partner, you know?
What are we doing?
So I remember them saying, like, it's very hard to get booked, so you got to take the bookings when you can get them. But you guys didn't have that problem, or you just stayed as a team as much as you could?
I don't think there was ever a question. We didn't really try to go out.
No, luckily, as we started, the scene in Montreal really started to pick up. So there was multiple companies.
What year is this?
So 2000, and we started in 2001, 2002.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's when it kind of started to grow a little bit. So there were a lot of little places that we go to. Again, we're not making money, right? Like, you got $10.
You're just wrestling for experience.
You got $10. It was huge. I remember the first time we got 50, and I was like, we've made it.
$50?
We've made it. So it was just, so you start, like we're saying, like with the place we started, you could only wrestle there. And eventually you just kind of like, we got to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So we started going to other places and just always as a team and just kind of panned out.
What was the name of your team back then?
Oh, boy.
It was called 2.0.
Yes.
Oh, was 2.0.
Yeah. Gotcha. So we were like the second version of a team in this little company that we had worked for.
Yeah.
And it caught on. Like the fans would chant it. So the second fans start chanting, you're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah,
are we over?
Make your merch.
Yeah, exactly. All that.
And like any name, it sounds so stupid at first, but then you say it enough. It's that's just normal.
It's like any rock band.
Yeah.
You know, Metallica 100%. Or Kiss or Red Hot Chili Peppers.
100%.
Def Leppard.
Mastodon.
You know? What? Fozzy. What? Yeah. But I mean, so, because then was there a 3.0 in there as well?
Yeah.
This is when you got even better?
Then we got even better. We upgraded.
Because like any software, right? You got to upgrade. That was not our
and
call.
Then, so this name just followed us around. Like we never changed it. And then it was just our name.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then... Yeah, where do you?
And then we got
stuck with it.
And then we got another great one of Everrise. That was another great one.
We'll get into that in a second. But let me ask you this: so, because you're talking about kind of the computer upgrade and all this stuff, are you now dealing with the Unos and the Super Smash Bros.?
Oh yeah.
I had Stu and Uno on a few months ago, and they were getting into the whole putting the cartridge into their tights better. And it was just a whole. What the hell are you guys doing in this Quebec Wrestling Federation's here?
It's a weird place.
You know, we got to give credit to Shitty. I don't know if you know him.
I don't know Shitty.
Shitty was Shitty Nick.
that's
what we call him. Yeah,
Shitty Nick. Shitty
Nick.
Why would he be called Shitty Nick?
Where did it even come from?
Because he had to shit all the time. We're on the road and he had to shit all the time.
There you go.
Shitty Nick.
Oh my God.
And then just eventually you drop the Nick. It's
just
shitty.
That's a great nickname, right?
It's fantastic.
And then you just drop the Nick and it's just shitty.
It's just shitty.
Gotcha. So just for shitty for short.
Yep. So to give him some credit, he was, to my knowledge, was like the first guy to really make video games and that type of thing. Like his shtick.
His gimmick,
right? He really was.
He did have.
That's where Evil Uno came from. Yeah. Player Uno.
Yeah.
and Player Dos, which was the name of, like, you know, Player One, Player Two,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And, like, as that culture grew, like, so did they.
Like,
know?
Uno's initial gear, first he had the pop, very popular indie wrestling garbage bag shorts, you know, the pleather material that everybody had.
So Tajiri really started that,
That's all on Tajiri.
Shorts, though, no, he had long tights.
Yeah,
long
he had tights. Long tights. But that material.
I remember when Gallows first came to WWE, he was wearing those. I took him aside. I said, dude, you can't wear those anymore. It's the big leagues. Rubber shorts
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, they're garbage
know, leather
bags,
shorts,
right?
They don't fit anymore. You're 9 feet tall.
But then he got a full NES controller, like 3Ds. The thing was thick.
That's amazing.
All down the side. And that was like, wow, that's really cool.
And that's where he would put the video game cards.
And then he had the whole
system on the
side.
And you could bump on it because it was rubber, right?
Exactly.
He would run spots where somebody would press the pause button and everybody would stop.
That's hilarious.
Like, it's just ridiculous, yeah. you know? But it really... Unbelievable.
And this is before that video culture, yeah. video game culture really blew
started,
up.
Right,
so he
right.
was like really the first one.
So were you guys good rivals to them as being 2.0?
One of our favorite opponents.
Absolutely.
People to work with, big time.
Yeah.
Because there was a kind of, I mean, if you think about this, like if you're thinking early 2000s and it's you two guys and it's Uno and Stu and then Sami Zayn is there and obviously Kevin is there. That's a hell of a group of guys to
right?
be able to work with.
I never really thought of it that way, but that's what it was.
Yeah. Especially once Kevin and Generico started really getting out, you know, like say they started with CZW and then from that it seemed like it exploded. Then they were going to PWG all the time. So once they got out and they were still coming back to Montreal and kind of sharing that knowledge of what's going on outside to us, and then we got to work with each other. So it kind of, it was real, a huge trickle down effect once that happened.
It's kind of inspiring that they can, if they made it out, then so can we, right?
It like created a path.
Yeah.
Right? They, like you say, paving the way. They really did.
Yeah.
See, it's interesting because we had a really good scene, if you go, 10 years prior in Calgary, it was me and Lance, Rick Titan, Luther. There was a couple other guys that all kind of had a lot of steam that you could go in. And then with Luther went to Japan or Titan went to WWE or Lance went to Germany. It's like, wow, there's a way you can do this. Mm-hmm. You see somebody that goes and makes
it
out.
How did you guys do it back in the day? Because there's no internet.
It's
You're
funny.
Just
no, there
sending
wasn't.
A tape.
I remember I asked a guy, Jerry Morrow. He's a famous kind of Calgary local guy. He was just awesome. For his address book, and he gave me all his addresses.
Wow, that's huge!
Like Mike Wazowski had the addresses
physical
too, and you would
address
literally
book.
Write, you know, tape and pictures. The old joke: you would send a tape and pictures to these different places. So that was kind of how it started, because, like you said, there was no internet to even look up. So you would have to kind of do it.
Yeah, like were you looking in the yellow pages? You know,
Basically just trying to get contacts from whoever. And if somebody, I remember Mike Lazansky went to Mexico and he needed a partner, so he asked me, and that's, you know, just one thing leads
just
to another.
Word of mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, how did you guys get out of the Montreal scene then and start moving? I'm assuming you guys did work in the States.
Yeah, of course.
So that's kind of what started off is once, you know, the floodgates were open a little bit, there was a rumbling of like, oh, there's something going up with these Canadians. Because there was one match in CZW. It was Kevin, Generico, another Montreal legend, Sexy Eddie, and Excess.
And we're not sure who El Generico is still to this day.
He's in Mexico.
He's running an orphanage.
I'm very happy
Good
for
him.
Oh, the orphanage. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Right on.
And they blew the roof off at the arena in Philly. And that was okay, there's something going on in Canada. And from then, it just started picking.
You know any more? You know any other guys up there type thing? Is that what you're
saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Any little brothers?
Yep. Yeah,
gotcha.
So then, you know, Kevin's like, oh, well, there's these guys. So then, you know, they'd bring us down to CZW. And then you'd have the Smash Brothers go down, and from there you get more eyes, and that's just—it's just
so
networking,
so
man.
For me, I was lucky because I was a dual citizen, so I always had the double passport.
The lottery.
Yeah. For you guys, how are you getting over the border?
I'll give you the exact. So
now you're here now, right?
So right. Matter, yeah. So I mean, we traveled to the States with no visa for years.
Right.
Years. Yeah. So we got it down to a formula. I would always be driving.
He's a professional. He is an absolute professional.
You have to be. I want to hear the story.
So after you do it for a while, you realize there's no nerves anymore. Like,
right.
it's all good. Yeah, we have a trunk of spandex, but yeah, whatever. That's not a big deal.
Wow, because we're going to Comic-Con. Maybe.
Yeah, we're going to Comic-Con. You know,
what I always did was I'm going for a tryout.
Yeah. Right.
So this would be the spiel.
The train.
Yeah. That's what we locked into. This was the spiel every single time. So where are you going? Let's say Newark, New Jersey.
Right.
Okay, what are you going there for? We're doing pro wrestling training. Like pro wrestling, like the fake sup?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, like Hulk Hogan.
Like Hulk Hogan.
And then this was the kicker. Yeah, my mom's really proud of me.
Yeah.
So that would get them to look at you like, oh, you're a Loser. Go.
Well, this nerd is
exactly.
Once you cut yourself down a little bit, no, you're a joke now. Go ahead.
Oh, yep. Nice.
It's kind of what it, that's well kind of the key well to done. It.
The power of self-deprecation.
There you go.
See that, and that's very interesting because I used to have to do that with Mexico for years, and I had, like I said, I'd say if I get caught, I'll say I'm going for training, and in Mexico there was a traffic light, mm-hmm. and you'd press a button, and if it was green, you walk through, and if it was red, you'd get searched. And wow. it was maybe 1 out of 50 would be red, but I was always super nervous. What if it's red?
The anxiety.
Thankfully, I never got a red, but I always had the story.
Never got it.
But that's a smart move. They say my mom is very proud of me.
That was the line. That was always the seller.
Did you ever have any high spots at all? Ever any chance?
So always the worst was coming back.
Coming back into the country.
It's harder to get into Canada.
Like, what are you going
to
do? Not let me into my country?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I think it was also because we'd always be doing these shots. Like, because again, you're not making a ton of money. Like you're sometimes at the start lucky to get these bookings. So they're necessarily not paying for a hotel. Like they're going to cover your trans. They're going to pay you to work, but. Right. The rest you're on your own. So we go, all right, you know what, to hell with it, we'll just drive back. We'll just drive 8 hours after the show. So we would drive 8 hours to Philly, do a show, drive 8 hours back.
Yeah, not sketchy at all.
So we'd be crossing the border at like 3 a.m. This is when you have your new kids, your trainees and stuff like that. So it was just, all right, let's go full search. And sometimes we'd be there for like 3 hours.
Oh, gotcha.
The worst was when you travel with somebody and they want to stop at the duty free.
Oh, no.
Like get alcohol or something. No. Like, what are we doing guys?
Here, let me tell you something, guys. There's no duty free when you're sneaking over the border. Okay. How does that sound?
Thank you.
Spend the extra $15.
It's always the guys who like don't do it often.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Big moment.
Yeah.
We went to New Jersey last week. It was awesome.
And now I can get tax-free liquor.
Tax-free liquor.
So where was your biggest places that you were working in the States?
Are you familiar with Chikara?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That was where we cut our teeth in the United States.
And that's mostly on the East Coast?
Northeast. Okay.
There was a time where it kind of traveled all over, right?
Yeah.
To the Midwest, to Chicago and Indiana. But
all as far as you could drive, or were you ever getting flights?
Towards the end, we were being flown in, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you have any type of visa then, or you just, now you're doing the same thing?
So what we would do is we would drive over the border to Albany and then fly out from there.
A Kevin Owens tip.
Yes.
Which, genius.
Yep.
Changes everything at that point.
But you don't have to worry about it.
International.
Yeah. Those stamps on the passport, nothing. Like, so it's
always heightened security at the airport,
sure,
right?
Yep. Of course.
Yeah.
So it's so much easier that way. So with the initial stuff, we've done drives out to Chicago from Montreal, which is like 14, 15 hours, you know, just
course.
Because you're hungry, man. Like, the opportunities out there, you go. But then luckily we start getting flights, but that's how we do it. Play it safe.
So what finally led you guys to get into NXT and become Everrise?
So
we
did extra work.
Okay, tell us about that.
Oh, we have a lot of stories.
So tell much extra work. Because again, it's you have no idea how to get in.
No.
Right? Like, especially when we were coming up, there was always the thing of like, if you're under 6 foot, forget about it.
Yeah.
Right? This was the OVW time. Yes. So it was just like, oh, I'd love to get to WWE, but it's not going to happen. So what else can we do?
Yeah.
But then once you had your Bryan Danielson getting signed, you had your CM Punk, and then Sami Zayn got signed. And that was like,
that was a game changer.
Oh, shit.
That was a real game changer for indie guys. When he had that match with Cesaro on one of the takeovers, one of the first takeovers, it feels like it opened everything up, right?
Gotcha. Obviously, great worker, great guy, but not like a muscle guy.
Right.
No.
Not tall.
Yep.
Just a normal, basic guy.
Pretty much.
Right?
But
yeah.
And it's just fantastic.
And like you were saying earlier,
looks-wise.
Once someone, one of my guys can do it, why can't I?
Right.
So that starts getting you going, and then Kevin gets signed. It's like, okay.
Yep.
So we just got to the point where we had to ask, like, Kevin, like, what can we do? Like, I know you can't just get us a job.
Yeah,
like, that's
course.
What, so that's one thing. Like, if I can just get you a job, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
that
wouldn't everybody's
way.
Friends
Man.
Just have jobs?
Here's
you know?
My favorite. You know what you guys need to do? You need to tour with Metallica.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A great idea.
Yes.
Hello, Metallica. It's Fozzy. Can we get the tour? Done. Thanks,
awesome.
Man.
Awesome.
You guys need to get Kevin Owens to get you in the WWE.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
That's exactly.
Great yeah. advice.
No problems.
Yeah. Gee, thanks, buddy.
So he just said, hey, look, I can get you extra work.
Yeah. And so anytime you guys were in the Northeast, anywhere we could drive, we were going.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We were going for 2 years, 2-3 years. We probably did like 40 shots, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot.
So when you're going to be an extra, tell us kind of what happens. What's the day in the life of an extra for WWE? Let's say the show is in, you mentioned Newark. Is that somewhere you could drive?
Yep.
Let's say it's at in Newark, wherever. Is it at the Prudential Center?
Yes, which we've done many times.
Yeah, we have done it a bunch of times.
So it would generally would be we'd have to leave kind of the night before, because if it's a 6-hour drive, general call time was noon. So depending on how far it was, the 4 6-hour drive would be able to do in the day.
Six hours to like New York City.
Yeah. So if it was any further, it would be the night before. But we generally leave the morning of, wake up at like 5 a.m. and
hit the road.
Yeah. Because we have to be there at noon.
Right.
So you get there, you check in.
No problems with the border. You're not worried about that.
Same.
Especially when we got it down.
Same story. Hulk Hogan, mom's proud of me. Go on through.
It's still Hulk Hogan to this day in Canada.
Still, no matter where you go.
I mean, like Hulk Hogan wrestling, they literally say that. I'm not, anybody listening, we're not joking. They still equate pro wrestling with Hulk Hogan and Hulk Hogan only.
I wonder what it's going to take to change.
Probably nothing. Never. That generation to go in maybe 30 years from now.
Who's Hulk Hogan?
It's still going to be Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, exactly.
Just pass the
story down. Baseball? Is that like that Babe Ruth stuff?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's exactly the same.
So go ahead.
So the other thing with extra words is obviously you have to show up dressed to the nines, right? Like you got to be presentable. It's business, but I'm not driving 6 hours in a suit.
Oh yeah, we'd stop off at a Wawa and change our clothes, get changed in the parking lot. That bury, is my tie look okay? Yeah,
but you'd bury the suits under the seats too.
Oh,
so like
with a suit,
exactly,
and then you pull it out,
sketchy.
It's all wrinkled. It's just a mess.
Instead of paper bag.
So you always get the email was always the same. It was show up at noon, check in with talent relations, and then go directly to catering.
Okay.
Stay out of the way.
Stay out of the way and don't be an idiot.
Right.
And there's a list of rules, man.
Is there a list? Actual rules that
yes.
In this email, it's don't go and ask people for autographs, like stuff like that.
Because somebody did these things, right? And every couple of months, they would add new rules. There'd be a new, and you're like, who was it? Who ruined this for us? Like, we had a great thing going here, guys.
Which was fun in the system because we knew what the rules are, and then you'd see a new one come. You're like, new rule. so we'd be happy to see that.
For a while, right?
Yeah.
So it's exactly that. It's go to catering, stay out of the way. Yeah. Just stay out of the way and don't be a moron. And it's funny, you always, and you'll know this for sure, you always see the extras line. It's everyone standing up in a row against a wall in this hands crossed in front of you position
wearing an ill-fitting suit.
An ill-fitting suit,
always too long. And then here's a classic. Let's say you walk by, right? Let's say you're walking by, you're going to catering, and it just takes one extra to stop and say hi. And then we all have to say
because then you got to shake hands.
Shaking down the line.
Yeah. It's the wrestling rule. You must shake hands. Hello. Shake hands.
Like if he shook hands, what am I not going to shake hands?
And there'll be one guy who's going, the one guy didn't even shake my hand. You know?
It's at first, it's terrifying. Like it truly is. It's this environment that's like, it's so overwhelming. And you want to stand out because you're there to get a job.
Right.
But at the same time, you don't want to stand out.
Yeah, it's a fine line for sure. Yeah.
And you also realize there's 20 guys in line that are all feeling the same way.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you not bother people but still stand out, quote unquote?
You really got to figure it out.
Yeah.
You do it enough that now you start getting comfortable is certainly not the word, but you're familiar with the situation, right? So it's like, now we know we've done it enough. We're like, we don't have to hide. We're just dudes. Everyone's just dudes. We're in a suit. Maybe someone just thinks we're a new writer. It's okay.
Yeah,
just don't cause
a
scene. Yeah. It's all good.
Just act like you belong.
Right.
Yeah, in a way. And that's especially now with that, we had some friends that worked there too. Like we're friends with Brody Lee, Neville and stuff like that. So it makes it a little bit easier. But the day is just a lot of sitting around and waiting to see if you're going to do anything.
Mm. And when do you find out?
That depends.
Oh, yeah. There are there's some days where you remember when they'd do the matches, right? Like the extras would have matches.
Oh, like before the show.
Yeah.
And this is basically matches in front of nobody, kind of tryouts. Maybe Scott Armstrong's watching or something.
Yeah.
Empty arena matches, which at the time.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Really strange idea, right?
Terrible. And now it's like.
So we got all sorts of practice with the empty arena matches.
Wow.
So they tell you, 2 o'clock, be in your gear. We're going to be doing matches.
Go sit up in the stands in your gear. We're going to do matches.
Okay.
So now you're like, this is an opportunity, right? To show what you can do or whatever. You're sitting in the stands maybe an hour. maybe 2 hours. You're like, well, should I stretch?
Yeah.
Do I plan a match? Like, what are we doing, you know? And sometimes the matches would happen, and sometimes they just wouldn't, you know?
Because sometimes you'd sit there till doors open and like, oh, I guess it's not happening.
No matches. Yeah.
Yep. What, maybe there, and if there was a match, what would it be? Okay, you two guys against these two guys go in there and do something?
So we figured out a solid hack on that. We just said, we'll just wrestle each other.
Yeah. Because if you wrestle somebody new, like,
you don't know.
You don't know. And you, we've seen it plenty of times where it's just a disaster, yeah. Chris, yeah. An absolute disaster. Yeah. And so we'd work each other. And it was always very
smooth. Did you have a choice?
I think we did, right?
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it was unspoken.
They would just say, go find who you're working sometime. So, and we always said, like, look, we want to bat 1,000. Like, this isn't the time to go and try all these cool moves right. And this new stuff. It's
that
like,
might screw up
let's,
whatever, yeah.
They're looking for fundamentals. Because obviously, this isn't, they're not going to sign you here and put you on SummerSlam. Right. This is, they're going to sign you and put you in the factory.
Right, so, exactly.
Show some personality, show some fundamentals, and be good enough to be like, we can do something with this. It's not the time to do your high octane offense. So that's why we kind of paired up and be like, all right, let's just do the best quality we can do. Simple stuff, 4 minutes, in and out, goodbye.
All right, guys, so what finally led you to getting signed by WWE?
This is a story.
All right.
This is a story, folks.
So we get a tryout, our first tryout in 2016.
Yeah.
September?
Yeah.
September 2016.
William Regal had, we'd extra'd with him a bunch of times, and he liked us, took a liking to us, knew we were friends with Kevin, and he put the word in. We had a tryout at the Performance Center.
Is this one of those 3-day ones?
Yeah.
Drill.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
But rightfully so.
Sure.
So we actually, I was running my own company at the time in construction, so I had the ability to be like, all right, I'm going to stop taking jobs for 6 weeks and put everything I got into training for this thing because you know what it is. It's this brutal boot camp. So we do that. Trial goes really, really well. This was at the time they had just done the first Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah.
So Canyon Seaman pulls us aside. He goes, look, we love you guys a lot, but this is one line. He goes, there's only so many under 6 foot tall white guys I can have on the roster right now. Like, how can you argue with that? That's
story,
exactly.
Right?
I'm under 6 foot and I'm white, so sure. But he goes, we're going to be doing season 2 of the Cruiserweight Classic, so we'll use you guys for that. Mm. Awesome.
That's cool.
Great. Opportunity.
Yeah.
Great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Go home and wait for an email.
Never comes.
Never comes.
Yeah.
Never
like
comes.
Jeopardy thing.
Six weeks, 2 months go by.
One pops up. We're like, oh, that's here right. we go. Yeah. One comes. Okay, we might use you for the Dusty Classic. Sweet.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah. That's great. Right. Forgot about that.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
we're a tag team. There's a tag team tournament. Heck yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Never hear anything back.
Yeah.
So this goes on for a year, year and a bit.
Yeah. So at this point, we're like, well, man. I guess we just got to keep extraing.
Yes.
And that's what we did. And
just
then
showing up.
Just keep showing up. Because if you're not in the game, how are you know?
That's right.
You can't win if you're not in the game.
That's right.
And WWE comes to Montreal and we're going to extra.
Yeah.
And we end up having a match with the Authors of Pain on Monday Night Raw.
Those are the big guys, right?
The huge guys, yeah.
So this starts out, obviously, you know, the business, get beat up. All good. Sure, no problem. So this evolves to Road Dogg coming up to us as we're just sitting in our locker room, I say loosely, which is basically a cubby hole out under the stands. And he goes, you guys can speak French, right? We're like, yeah, of course. Okay, cool. Hang tight. I'll be back in a bit.
Ooh.
Okay.
Who said that to you?
Road Dogg.
Gotcha.
Comes back maybe 15 minutes later. He goes, okay, so you guys are going to have a promo. Okay.
Yeah,
Charlie Caruso is going to interview
in Montreal.
In Montreal.
In front of the people, right?
Yeah.
At ringside before the match.
Nice.
What is happening?
And what's really, for us especially, like anybody listening unfamiliar with what we do, like promos are really what sets us apart from kind of anybody. It's like that's how we made our mark, got a name, was by doing these ridiculous promos. And so we're like, oh, perfect. Being able to talk? Great. So they set it up to where we're supposed to be at, like standing at ringside. Charlie asks us some questions. We have some verbiage. AOP reaches over, grabs us by the skull, the old Big Show spot, pulls you in, whoops your ass, 1, 2, 3, you're done. Awesome.
Fantastic.
Right.
Easy enough.
Yeah. Easy enough. So
the promo's more important than anything else.
Absolutely.
100%.
Right?
100%. So at one point, a writer comes up to us, he gives us a piece of paper. We read it over.
The verbiage.
We read it over.
It is something.
I'm laughing already.
There's a line in there that says, we come from a long line of of French Canadians. And if anybody knows anything about French Canadians, we're fighters.
Yeah, a long lineage of fighters, French Canadians. And we're like, what? We can't Can we say, like, this is, we got to do something.
Right. And again, this is like, who are we to say anything?
But are you supposed to say it in French or in English?
English.
Oh. Was it French?
There was a line of French, but that was in English.
So then we ask Road Dog, we go, do we have to say it this way? He goes, you don't. Because there was a French part.
There's French in the beginning, yeah.
So in the French part, we go, do we have to say exactly what's here? And he goes, no, just like Vince isn't going to know what you say anyway. So just don't embarrass the company.
Yeah, right.
So we get with that, and that was the clear. Just say what you want, but don't say anything stupid.
French, no one's going to know what you're saying.
No one's going to know.
You can say whatever you want to get a pop from this crowd.
Which is what we did.
Right.
Yeah.
So Matt comes up with the line of.
What was it?
La coupe.
La coupe, ça s'en vient chez nous. Like, we're going to bring the cup home.
Which
like
is
the
a
Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Like, tonight is our night. We're bringing the Stanley Cup home.
Which is, I mean, that is in the blood.
Sorry about the Canadians this year, by the way. I was rooting for them, too.
Just driving down here,
I saw somebody with a Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup banner just rubbing it in.
Yeah.
But we had a house divided here because everyone was cheering for the Lightning. I was like, Canada could really use a cup.
Yeah, we could have used one.
So, anyways, go ahead.
We went to a game this year for the finals, too, by the way. That was really cool. It's like Tampa's got a good little town for hockey.
And I'm glad the Canadians won a game in Montreal, so everybody got to cheer.
Someone got to destroy the city.
You said you're bringing the cup back. What is it in French again?
La coupe, ça s'en vient chez nous. Gotcha. It's a little butcher.
So we're like, okay, we're going to go with this. And now it turns out they go, okay, so we're going to move the promo from ringside to Gorilla, and we're going to do it live, and then you're going to have an entrance.
Nice.
Having an entrance.
That's great.
What is happening?
As an extra getting squashed, like, what more? It's the trio, right? It's the Holy Trinity. That's perfect. Great. But the nerves that come with that. So starts to get time for it, and now we start moving to Gorilla. And now the thing is, in Gorilla, we're about, you know, standing here 10 feet away. There's Vince sitting at his table.
Right.
And now I got to do a live promo in our hometown in front of Vince.
Yeah. In front of the world, too.
Yeah.
Right?
So we do the thing. Charlie asks us a question. I can't remember what the question was. And I just go, you know, Charlie, that was an excellent question. And then we answer it. Matt drops the French line. Huge pop. Music cue.
Huge.
Bah. Montreal pop.
There was a reaction.
Okay. The reaction to the line was bigger than us. But
that's good, though.
Go out. Get squashed. Business is done.
Right.
We come through Gorilla. And we're standing around. AOP goes and talk to Vince. We're like, we got to go talk to Vince. At least
say
thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's your chance. You're in Gorilla.
Yeah.
Right.
And even like, I'm not thinking this is going to get us a job, but at least, hey, look, we've come this far. You got to say thank you to the man who gives you the opportunity.
40 times.
Exactly.
It's about time we said hi.
So it goes to commercial break. He's talking with AOP. Commercial break is about to end. He starts walking back to his seat. And I'm just like, oh, I can't let him sit down. I gotta go. So I go and I saw him like, sir, just before you sit down, I just wanted to say thank you. We're expecting him to just turn around, yeah, good job, and brush us off, which is fine enough. But he turns around, he looks, he goes, great shit out there. Shakes just the hand, just huge, great enthusiasm. We're like, oh, shit.
You could die a happy man now, you know? Like, that was...
Career's made. I'm good. I'm going to ride off now. I quit. And I'm good. So we go through Gorilla. You got to baby face that too, right? Poker face it. Oh, thank you. Great. Mark Carano pulls me aside and goes, hey, guys, you did a great job. We'll give you a huge bonus. Jeff, there's a problem on your paperwork. Just come into the office. I'm going to fix that up. Sure. Get into the office. And he goes, okay, so there's nothing wrong with your paperwork. This is the first time this has happened since I've been here in 10 years. Vince wants me to get your information, so I'm going to get your information, and we're going to get out to Florida.
Just you or both?
Yeah, just me.
Just him.
Oh, wow.
Just me. So this is where we're coming back.
What do you
All
do?
Comes full circle to the traitor thing,
that's
right?
Right.
The ultimate betrayal. So that happens, and I'm like, oh, shit. So I go back into the locker room. Obviously, Matt knows something happened.
Yeah, like, what was... What happened in there? Like, I know something happened.
This is
terrible. So he fills me in right away.
So I give him the 411.
Yeah. He's like, wow. Okay. So,
but immediately after I tell him, we go, now we got to figure out how we both get there.
We got to make this work, you know?
Right.
So I guess a couple days go by.
Yeah.
And I just emailed Canyon Seaman and told him what's what, you know? And
told him about this whole situation.
100%. And he goes, oh, we'll get you in because they were going to bring Jeff down for a tryout.
Yeah.
And I told him the situation. He goes, oh, you come too. Absolutely, you come to.
All right, Jeff, why do you think it was just you who got the WWE tryout invite?
We got some extra information.
Ah, okay.
We had a friend who was a writer
back
at the time, and he said, so they had the post-show meeting or whatever, maybe it was the day after. So Vince said, you know, that kid, he was just so hateable.
So I liked hateable.
It.
I think, because he kind of gave like Charlie this like little flirty look, you know?
Yeah, they were a coy smile.
Sure, it's so hateable.
It's all it took, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Just which is crazy like how that. You can do years of work and it comes down to that.
Just, you know, the quick story of James Ellsworth.
Yes.
When he got destroyed by Strowman. It was, I remember looking before going, look at this loser. Like, this guy has got zero chance. But he had a promo. And I remember saying, any man with two hands has a chance. And the way he delivered it, he almost kind of gulped as he said it. We're like, oh, this guy is so dead. But Vince loved it because he felt this guy like... That's what got him signed. That's this amazing. Guy out of all the guys, him, he got signed. Yeah. And like you said, yeah. There's one little gulp, and you did the same with your one little lascivious look or whatever it was.
It's crazy.
It's a great word.
Lascivious. Word of the week.
Word of the day.
Yeah, Google that one. My French
Canadian. But it's crazy how that works.
So you ask Seaman, and he says you come down to you.
Yeah, so then we have another tryout, right? When we had just done... The previous one, maybe 18 months earlier. So we knew this time we're way more comfortable.
Yeah.
We know what we're getting into. Comes time to do promos. First day, we're doing promos. And they're calling us one by one. They call me and I go, we'd like to present ourselves as a tag team with Jeff Parker. Now they could say no. Mm. And then I have to go up there alone and do a promo. So they made me wait like 30 seconds before answering me. And I'm just coming up with something new to say, right? In that time. They say yes, we go up, and we sang some Little Mermaid
for them. Because everyone does the I've worked for this my whole life thing. You know, I understand it, but like, how is that different?
Right.
Yeah.
Singing Little Mermaid is certainly different.
And how did you tie that into your story?
So we did it by, we're cutting a promo, and Matt said.
Oh, that's right, it was a whole story.
It was a whole thing. Yeah, Matt goes, we're going to take no prisoners.
Take no prisoners.
And I'm like, dude, you can't say that. Yeah. Like, do you know what that actually means? He's like. No,
like so basically saying you're gonna take somebody and kill them. Right? Yeah, like that's what we're saying here.
So I whisper in his ear what it means, and he starts having like a panic attack. So I'm like, sorry, guys. Like we're playing this off almost like it's real. Like I'm really sorry, guys. Just give us a second.
Yeah. Okay, calm me down.
I know what gets you. Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? And then go into the whole song, and then he starts singing it, and then the promo just ends after the big crescendo of the song.
Oh, yeah, it was something. It was Scotty Too Hotty took us aside after that and was like, unbelievable.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Once again, you're doing something outside of the box. Yeah. It'd be different.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the catalyst?
Yeah.
I think that's what did it. Like, I know, speaking for me, like, after we did that promo, I was like, oh, this is great. like it was just pressure was off, you know? And we had already done the tryout previously, and... We knew what to expect at this point, you know? Felt great.
Yep.
So then they finally said you guys are signed?
Exactly. Got right after that, pretty much. This is funny, too, because Kevin would always chirp, right? Again, like we're saying, somebody can't get you a job, but someone can certainly chirp.
Of course.
So after the tryout, Canyon, we go and shake his hand. He goes, all right, guys, we'll definitely be in touch. You can have your friend stop calling me now. So that was kind of like you're in.
That's great, though. Yeah. It's a good friend stand-up for you guys.
It's unbelievable.
So
it's
when
great.
Did you guys get signed?
Pretty much 2 weeks after they sent us the email.
What date are we looking at, though?
This was October 2018.
Actually, it was August we got the email. So it was like August 3rd. So it's almost like to the day, 2018, we got that email saying, all right, we're going to move forward and let's go.
So tell us about your experience in NXT and what you guys kind of did when you were there.
So we get there February 2019. And now you're like, you're just in the system, right?
Yeah.
You're two guys in a system and you got to figure out how are we going to stand out like with some of the best athletes in the world, best wrestlers.
Best talkers.
Yeah. It's starting your career over again. Right. It really is. Unless you're one of those guys who they've picked with plans and ideas.
Yeah, like a first round draft pick.
Right, which we aren't. We snuck in the back door somehow.
But even so, though, even if you are one of those guys, you still have to figure it out. Like I did.
Yeah,
I was
more
not given anything. When I had like you said, I was picked to do a certain thing, but I had to figure out how to make it work or else you're gone.
Yeah.
No one's holding your hand in WWE.
And it takes you a minute to figure that out. Like, like sometimes you think, everybody comes in, they have a plan for you or an idea of what to do with you, but you're just two guys in a system and you have to show them this is what you should do with us.
This is what you have with us.
Like even all the stuff you were doing in WCW at the time, like just throwing so much against the wall just to be like, let's see what sticks.
Because you had nothing.
Exactly.
Right. So if you, like, I always hate it when it's like, creative had nothing for us or they didn't give me a push. It's like, that's not up to them.
Yeah.
It really isn't. You gotta make it happen. As weird as that might sound, it's like, well, how are you supposed to make it happen? I don't know.
You figure it out.
I don't know.
You have to figure it out.
That's right.
So for us, we just started a Saturday morning breakfast show on Twitter.
Nice.
Like we'd do promos after we were on 205 for maybe a year. Okay. Gotcha. And we'd do promos that would get great traction online. But to do these promos, you have to depend on being booked.
Yeah.
So we came up with this idea to do, Talking Smack, right?
Yeah.
To do a parody of that, but for 205 Live.
Gotcha.
And it just turned into this breakfast show.
Yeah, a Saturday morning breakfast show.
Like on video on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we started by just...
Everrise Live.
Everrise Live is what we called it. And we would just... Bullshit. We just talk bullshit, find different little stupid segments to do, and just maybe this takes off, you know, but at least, at the very least, this gives us something to talk about every single week without having to be booked. We don't have to be on every single show. We can talk about whatever it is. We're there Saturday morning, clockwork. And it starts picking up. And then eventually NXT social media starts going, hey, maybe
what's going on over here?
Maybe we should put it on our social media. Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because we were just releasing it alone on our Twitters, right?
Yep. Yeah. We just picked the camera guy.
20,000 followers, right? Or whatever you have.
Yeah,
nothing. You might have 2 million, I don't know, whatever it is, but then you put it on there, suddenly it's 10 times as much.
It's huge.
Right? Like, so it goes to NXT, then the WWE Twitter started pushing it, then they moved us to YouTube. So it was all going up.
Now you start getting like 100,000 views on this show that we created. And from that, now Office gets the attention. Hunter starts seeing it. Shawn Michaels starts seeing, they start coming to talk to us about it at TV. Again, we're doing 205, but we're not in the NXT run. We'll do stuff on there, like when they need something, we'll fill a gap. But now they start taking notice of, like, there's something really here. Maybe we'll
It really changed the perception for us in the company.
And then the ideas start coming up, like, maybe we'll just have you guys as background characters.
Yes.
So you can just be in the background. Maybe you say a quirk, and now you can talk about that on your show. Awesome.
Perfect.
And then we have stuff where we're lowering signs on TV, plugging the Everrise Live.
Gotcha.
Like, just set up this little shitty rig that we just...
Every week on television, they wrote a little plug for our show in there, you know? It was great. It was really great, yeah.
All right, Matt. All right, Jeff. Where did the name Everrise come from?
Oh, here we go. Here we go, folks.
Lots of stories going on here.
So, getting stuff through legal in WWE is not an easy process.
Right, of course.
Just getting anything through is not easy.
We knew we didn't want to be 3.0 anymore because it has no context in WWE, right?
Sure.
So we need a new name. Initially, we were just going to be, my name was Matt Martell and he was Chase Parker. We were just going to be Parker Martell. And at some point, the thinking was, we're going to say something in a promo, say something during a match that's going to catch on, and that will just become our team name.
Right.
And then 2 days before we were set to debut, this is September 2019, so when the AEW NXT thing started, writer Joe pulls us aside. He goes, you guys are going to debut on TV tomorrow, but Hunter wants you to have a name. And we're like, huh.
Well.
Now we got to figure it out, right?
Right?
So we go into a room with Road Dogg and another writer named Baker, and we just start pitching names, you know? But nothing sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing sounds right.
Everything's awful. We go from like trying to figure out maybe there's some French names we could do. Like,
oh, yeah, we did. What do we have? L'Héritage.
L'Héritage, which is the heritage. Okay, maybe there's that. And then that comes back to Hunter doesn't want you to be French because you'll be wearing a beret in no time, which is fair enough.
Yeah, and beret and the freaking Quebec cross or
thing. Exactly.
That every French guy has to wear, right?
La Résistance, if you will.
Yeah, Résistance, Rougeaux, and et cetera,
yeah.
Right?
So all these things, we come up with different names. Nothing really sticks. But every time we come up with something that might stick, doesn't get through legal.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way up to TV day. Wednesday, we're there, and it's like 5:45, doors open at 6, show starts at 8. We still don't have a name.
You need a new song. You need a new name. And then it's like, we're going live in 2 hours. What is going on? Guys, it's just the rest of our lives.
Yeah, no big deal,
it's
right?
People only knew this stuff. Dude. They think it's like all figured out and created and locked in stone. Yeah,
it was a real lesson in WWE.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where you're just standing,
You're standing on the entrance stage, doors open in a half hour. You're listening to music. You're trying to figure out a new name, and all of this whirlwind's going through.
You have to get changed, stretch, plan a match.
Oh, yeah. That's secondary.
Yeah. Way secondary.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who
cares?
Live on national
TV. You're a professional, figure it out.
So how did you finally come up with Everrise and decide on that?
We're standing there trying to figure out our new song, and Joe comes up to us. He goes, okay, so the last name that you guys had, it didn't clear legal. You're going to be Everrise. We got to go, what?
We're what?
This was never on the table.
No,
this
was first time we ever heard it. It's officially our name.
It was just not on the table. And it just blew our minds. I go, well, where did that come from? He goes, well, if I had a band when I was a teenager, I would have named it Everrise.
I was just going to say that. It sounds like kind of like a post-grunge
band. Like they opened for Creed.
Yeah.
You know? Everrise.
Yeah,
on the Christian rock band circuit,
Everrise and Silverchair live at the Copa.
The year 2000, yeah.
Big time. That's what it sounds like.
So we always got that. It's either like a ripoff Creed or a gas station boner pill was the other one.
Yes.
That'd be a name. Right. So you're Everrise and it's signed, sealed, delivered. Go make it work.
At some point, you're like, well, you just own it. You just got to own it. Like, right? Yeah. This is our name.
That's
like,
what
are we going to do? Right. Like, not own it?
That's what New Day was, by the way.
100%.
Their original name was literally, this is not a joke, Fresh Coat of Paint.
Get out, boy.
And then they decided on New Day basically right before. And it's like, what is, if you think about it, like, what does that even mean?
Yep. Fresh what is, coat of paint?
Fresh coat of paint.
Ask Woodsy if you ever
can you
FCOP.
Fresh coat of paint.
But even New Day, like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
New Day and Everrise. It sounds like you said, it's a Christian rock tour.
Right up in there.
But you don't
Rhino.
Even think twice now, right?
New Day. Big Show.
Yeah.
All these things, they're awful at first, but now it's just, we're the Everrise.
Yeah.
So, and then we just start saying, Everrise rules.
Everrise rules, man.
So it just all... Yeah,
so you guys were there for almost 3 years.
Yeah.
And so what kind of was the peak of your time there?
That was it.
We were in it when we got fired.
We were just, we were
on TV
just building
every
these
week.
Characters on TV every week. It had been 2-3 months now.
Still because of your show.
Yeah. 100%.
Wow.
They moved the show over to WWE's YouTube channel. So we're like, oh, that's a huge step, right?
You're getting hundreds of thousands.
We're on TV. Since the month of October, we're on TV, whether 205 or NXT. Every single week, we're doing segments all the time. And like, we're starting to now get that. Now the crowds are coming back in. We're starting to feel that pocket of, oh, they're starting
like the
to get
the
what we're doing
to go
here.
Downhill.
Because at first, you're just out there, they're jobbers, which is kind of what you want.
Right.
But then eventually it's, yeah, they're jobbers, but I kind of low-key like these guys. Yeah. And then that grows, and it was starting to really, now we're starting to talk ideas of like, okay, we're going here.
Yeah.
And
moving,
then,
we had plans moving forward, you know?
Yep.
Then we got the call. Writers and everything, and then pulled the rug out from under us.
And obviously you didn't expect this to happen.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
We felt
was it the budget cut? I'm sure you guys are making so much money.
Really, really swimming in it.
Yeah, really took a dent.
What do you think the reason is?
So I think it's budget cuts, and I think it's also, we were told they're moving in a different direction.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
I think it means youth movement, like.
Youth and big. I think it's back to the 6-foot former athletes, and you know, and if that's what it is, well, I can understand why some people don't fit that bill.
Right. So you guys are living now in Orlando.
Yep.
And had some kind of papers to be there, obviously.
Yeah.
So I mean, when this happens to you and it comes from out of the blue, what's kind of the thought? What's the idea?
Well, we're both married.
Right.
I have a child on the way.
Gotcha.
Any day now.
Yeah, any day now.
Wow.
Yeah,
could be now.
It's yeah, maybe I am a father.
Congratulations.
You know what I mean? My phone's off. Sorry, Stacey. Yeah, I mean, it's dread, right? Like, you just, this sinking feeling in your stomach.
Yeah.
And the first thought is, well, you got to figure out how do we stay here?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Legally, you know what I mean? So that's been a whole process the last month. And luckily, the
got
last
it figured
couple
out.
Days,
got it
looks
figured
like
out.
It's figured out.
Yeah. So, my thought was I had the 15 minutes of, wow, this sucks. And then it was,
oh yeah,
what do we do next?
Right.
What's next? Luckily, we got fired on a Friday Friday afternoon. What comes after Friday? Well, it's Saturday morning,
Saturday
isn't it?
Morning.
So
Saturday morning.
The show must go on. Yeah. So we immediately that night, so we got fired at like, let's say 3:30. Yep. By 7:30, show's in the can. Saturday morning, we released on Twitter. And then now we started a full YouTube and started with a whole bunch of other stuff because, hey, this is ours.
Yeah.
So let's just roll with this. This is something that has a following. Yeah, we're not working there, but this show still goes on.
The show still goes on.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Because and plus, like you said, you guys were doing it kind of pre the push, so to speak.
Yep.
So you just have to get people to understand that it's the same guys.
That's
exactly.
That's it.
So and that's been going super well. So it's like that, at least in that little meantime, that and not on a personal level, it gave us something to focus on to not be too much into the, I just got fired. What do I do?
That's kind of one of the positives about this day and age. It's actually one of the positives of the whole lockdown was that if this was 5-10 years ago, we would have really been screwed.
But right?
With all the technology available and all these different ways to even make revenue off it, it's not as bad as it could be. And the fact you guys got released when shows are starting again, if it was last year when there was no shows, that kind of is even worse for a lot of those guys.
All those
guys don't have to worry about that.
That was brutal, eh? Like, but yeah. So 2 hours after getting let go, we're filming this show, No hesitation. Yeah. It goes out the next day. It does very well online, you know, for guys like us. Sure. It did very well, got a lot of traction. And that's what we're doing now.
Yep.
You know, we're just pushing stuff out.
Did you get a lot of reaction from, like I mentioned, there's so many places to work now. Did you get a lot of reaction now that you're kind of free agents?
The email box is filling up.
It's been very interesting.
See, that's the thing. If you utilize the exposure that you got, this could probably even get you even higher.
Absolutely. And that's the goal moving forward. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Staying in this country.
That's the beauty.
Right now. A little anchor baby.
Yeah, you got to get that anchor. Right. Yeah.
You just call it anchor baby?
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect.
Oh, yeah. I'm working on it now because we need it too. Hey, listen.
It's 6 o'clock, baby. Come on.
That's my wife.
That's what it is.
Once I got fired, like, hey, babe, let's go. We need that. I don't care if you're ready. Let's go. But that's the beauty about now is that, like, WWE isn't the be-all, end-all anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, especially, like, when you branched out, it was a thing of, like, oh, yeah, you brought so much attention to that. There's another world out here of so many options. Man, it's a beautiful time for
especially
wrestling.
Especially for you guys, too, considering that you kind of made your splash on the national basis in WWE. But now it's like Impact is rolling, and obviously AEW, but Ring of Honor's there, MLW's there, and then all the other companies that are still, I mean, PWG just started up again last night.
NWA is a great little thing going.
NWA, there's so many that you forget, right?
Yeah.
GCW, AIW, and you could go through the whole alphabet.
I know guys that have been let go from WWE that are making more money now than were there.
And we're talking to them.
They're really like, you know, with no restrictions too, because you can have your Patreon, Twitch, you can have your merch, you can do all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing.
You're not beholden to this one, and it's just, I mean, that's just financials overall in life. You shouldn't just have one stream of income, right? You got to diversify your portfolio. I've been reading books. But yeah, there's so many things you can do now. You have Patreon.
Did you talk to anybody at NXT or WWE when you were let go, or anybody reach out to you, as far as you mentioned Road Dog quite a few times, those types of guys?
It feels like everybody reached out.
Yeah.
You know, everybody reached out and you know, say they're sorry or
a lot of surprise. You know, a lot of people were just like, I couldn't believe this. Because like, I don't even know if internally they knew about these cuts that happened, because that day we were talking with the writers about what we were going to do for the Great American Bash, like noon. They like, maybe we'll do this. And then you get the call.
Typically, when you enter the PC, if there's going to be people getting let go, they don't let you enter. They just call you into a room and they say, sorry, we're going to have to let you go. But we worked that at the PC that morning.
Yeah.
Right.
That morning. You know, so this could not have been, you know what I mean? Like this
could have just been just that afternoon. Yeah. They get an email saying, tell these guys. Were other people let go at the same time?
So yeah, there was a little crop. There was Dango and Breeze were let go. Yeah. Let's see, Marina Shafir, Arturo Ruas, Killian Dane, Tony Nese, Aria Divari,
The Bollywoods.
So there was a whole kind of vetting process.
Which was crazy. Like, cause it was that little crop of 205, because it was us working with the Bollywood boys. We had a little thing going. We had a storyline together. And then there was Nese and Divari. We're always working together. And then that whole crop is just gone. It just moves on, right? It's just what
Who
it is.
Who did you learn the most from at your time there?
Terry Taylor.
He's an underrated guy. I was just talking to someone about Terry Taylor the other day. I can't remember who it was, but yeah, super super smart and very very honest.
So honest.
Is he ever?
Oh, I know.
So
it was,
honest.
It was Malachi Black talking.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because he has a good relationship with Terry, too. Like, I mean, and people have a lot of Terry Taylor stories.
Yeah.
And I don't know who Terry Taylor as a 35-year-old man was. Right. I know who Terry Taylor as a 63-year-old Performance Center coach, kind of mentor, father figure is. And I can't speak any more highly of him. Yeah. It was him and Scotty Too Hotty were just always there. To just be like, oh, I see you guys doing this, or maybe this doesn't work, but just always helping and honest, just brutally honest. Because sometimes you get the lip services, it's really good, when it was absolute trash.
Terry would always go out of his way. If we did something that he liked on television, he would send us this very sweet text message.
Yeah.
And it just means the world, right? It's like,
and
it's encouraging.
He didn't like,
he would let you know. Guys, what are you doing?
He'd wait till
that was the shits.
He'd wait till skull session and in front of the entire class.
Oh, boy, you just bury it. But I loved it.
What are we doing?
He's the guy that gave me my first ever push in WCW when he took over as Booker in 97. And I have, same as you, great stories about Terry Taylor and nothing bad to say about him. Helped me out a lot, you know? And I think he even would say that if you know, if I wasn't so honest, I probably would have gotten further, but that's not me. But
isn't it crazy?
All the time.
He's been in professional wrestling for what, 40 years?
Yeah.
Almost?
Yeah, yeah.
Always had a job.
Always.
Yeah. Right? For the most, like he.
For a reason.
Exactly.
Yeah. For a reason.
From company to company to company, you know?
He's been everywhere.
He was the booker in WCW and I was doing the, because he's the one that came up with the idea to do a submission finish. Because at the time, UFC, MMA was just starting, have the guy tap out.
Yep.
Which sounds so strange now, but I would venture to say that that was one of the first times I had ever heard tap out.
Yeah.
Like you must tap out. And not this one, like tapping out, right? And he goes, well, so I was like, well, I got this idea because he wanted me to use an arm bar.
Okay.
And I had an idea because I had just been in New Japan with Benoit, who was using that really high angle Boston Crab. So I said, let me try this. And so I did it. And I remember in front of everyone, he goes, you know, he's like, well, that doesn't hurt. That would never hurt. And I said, well, it could. He goes, well, you can put it on right now. I'm like, come on, Terry. So he wants me to put on, dude. I'm like, I got no choice.
Yep.
He's the booker. I put him on in this thing in front of the locker and I cranked that thing and he's going, stop. He goes, that hurt. Why'd you do that? I'm like, oh, I had to, man.
Poor Terry his neck.
I can just see that play
dude,
out.
I was cranking it into it. You know, the Scott Norton sitting there watching me, like, you know, old school wrestling, you got the booker in a submission hold, you better make him
feel
it.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
But wow. Just a very good guy for advice and
amazing
mentorship as well.
Just such a lens on pro wrestling that I also feel like is a little bit missing today because he comes from that era of his whole thing is building emotional connection. It's two people in a battle and there needs to be emotion. And when you start looking at it that way, it kind of changes what you're going to do.
Right.
Like, okay, maybe I'm not that I could, but maybe I'm not going to backflip. Right. So, and especially being under that tree and just having it hammered to you all the time, you start seeing it very much that way.
He's a great bridge from the past to today.
To now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. As we start to wind down. So you guys are in your kind of, I don't even know what you call it, waiting phase.
Free agency.
Free agency. But you're in your kind of 90-day clause.
Actually, we only got 30. As of right now,
Malachi Black had that.
As of the 25th of this past month, so as you're listening to this, we're wide open. And
you guys only have 30.
Free agency.
NXT's only 30.
So I guess for Black, they never transferred him over to
it. Yeah.
Yeah, so it just fell through the cracks. Seems to be happening.
Worked out great.
So now that you guys are free, when do you start going on the road and start working? Is there surprises in the works?
Well,
there's some surprises.
Gotcha,
there are some surprises.
Some surprises coming.
But maybe. In the meantime, you continue doing your show.
Yep. Yeah. On YouTube, the show rules on YouTube. Loading a bunch of stuff on there. The show's on there. We're starting a little talk show called Behind the Show where we're just talking about wrestling, having people on and stuff like that. We have a bunch of little series going on there, so we're putting a ton of effort into that. Things are starting to roll.
So it's actually probably, I'd say in retrospect, even though it always sucks getting let go, you probably are seeing the positive side of it. It seems like
huge.
You guys are.
Yeah,
huge.
You have to, right?
Yeah.
We just didn't stop. And now the emails are filling up, dude. And I cannot wait.
No,
I cannot wait to get out there.
Because then you get to be yourselves again, too, right?
That's a huge thing.
So I can't even process what it's going to be like to plan a match without having different masters to please.
Yeah.
You know, like I've forgotten what that's like.
Promos too.
Promos.
Because the amount of times that we were told in that system, like, this is not what we do here. You guys are really good and it's very funny, but it's not what we do here. We need you to be serious fighters. And just like, well, I'm a plumber. Why are you hiring me to paint your house?
There's a place for serious, but there's a place for funny. There's a place for everything in between, right?
So there is that, we get to rediscover not just who we were, but like now with all that knowledge, which is, of course, going to be huge. Now we get to discover what the version of that is now, and it's so exciting.
Do you have a new name?
Yeah, we're going by The Show Rules.
The Show Rules.
The Show.
Yeah, The Show.
The Show.
Technical standpoint. Because we always say, we have a friend of the show on.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. And we just said, I guess that's it.
Perfect.
We're the show.
That's it.
We are the show.
I guess
Matt
that's
Jeff,
it.
Not the Hardys. The Show.
Yeah. Come on.
Last couple questions. Yeah, what's your favorite match that you ever had?
Woo. Favorite match. That is a tough one. Why am I not talking into the microphone? What am I going to sneeze? So we had one right at the end, like at the end of April. So in WWE, I think our favorite match for me, we wrestled Tony Nese and Aria Davari. These guys are fantastic.
Yeah, of course
they're so
unbelievable.
And that's my favorite television match that we had there.
Yeah. Television match at WWE, definitely be that one. I think maybe the favorite match we've ever had was we had this crazy 10-on-10 person tag in Chikara in New York City, and this is when Chikara was really picking up. We sold out this venue of like 400 people.
It's a club. Yeah. And they're just on
just
top
an environment, again. Right? Just, and it was like Team Ring of Honor against Team Chikara. So on the Ring of Honor side, you had like the Briscoes, you had Kevin, you had Jimmy Jacobs, the Bravado Brothers. And at that time, it was just the Young Bucks.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was just one of those like, oh, this is a moment where we get to level up. And so
the
I think
atmosphere
that,
in that place, and
it's an hour.
Just
it's an hour match.
Yeah,
it's gotcha. Insanity. Yeah.
With the new, it's a Cibernetico.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, that's true. You've done. Yeah, of course, you're right? Familiar with the Cibernetico. Yeah, yeah.
There's like a batting order like that you have to respect. Yeah. It's absolute insanity. Like the booking for this match. I don't know if you're familiar with Mike Quackenbush.
Yes.
So he writes it out. Dude, it's a book.
Yeah.
This thing is a book. Like
remember everything, right?
It's crazy, man.
Last question for you. I don't even know this. I hate when people ask me these ones to put you on the spot, kind of. But knowing Sami Zayn and Kevin, you guys traveled the roads with them. Is there a favorite story about
I got one.
Both those guys?
Okay. So Kevin is a tough son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay. Maybe the toughest guy I know. Okay. Yes,
yeah. And it's ridiculous.
And so we're in Buffalo. Okay. It's the middle of winter, maybe November, freezing cold outside. Kevin, no jacket,
nope.
T-shirts, shorts, walking into the, I'm going to say the dépanneur, but like the corner store, okay, to get a gallon of milk. The man is lactose intolerant.
Yes, lactose intolerant.
He loves milk getting so a gallon much, of milk. He's willing to punish himself.
Yep. Yep. He just drinks it anyways.
He doesn't care. He's the toughest son of a bitch I've ever met in my
life.
That
right there.
It just sticks in my brain. That moment.
And the most Sammy story I can think of, and you will understand this wholeheartedly. So we used to travel with Sammy a lot. So we're supposed to leave, let's say, 6 a.m. to do one of these ridiculous 8-hour drives to Philly or wherever it is. And he texts us. He goes, hey, guys, I hit some major traffic. I'm going to be late. Okay, 45 minutes rolls by. He finally pulls up. He gets out of the car and immediately just goes, hey, guys, yeah, there was no traffic. I'm sorry. I lied about that. I don't know why I lied. I was just late.
There's also one time we pull into a McDonald's. We pull into a McDonald's drive-thru and goes, do you guys have soup?
Soup?
Yes. Soup. You've never been to a McDonald's in your life, Rami? What are we doing?
That's why I brought my own soup.
Oh,
he
boy.
He said something to me. Yeah, right. By the way, thank you. You guys brought me a bottle of Grey Goose and a can of syrup, which was amazing.
Pure authentic. Canadian syrup.
Authentic Quebec so watch. The Sammy story that I still think about to this day, and he was so right. It's so classic, Rami. He goes, you ever notice there's no graveyards anywhere?
Yes.
He's probably, you guys have heard this. What do you mean? Like, for the amount of people who die every day, he's got a little bit of that kind of, it's a little bit of a French accent, but it's a little bit Arabic too.
Yeah.
You know, for the amount of people that die every day, where's all the graveyards? You go to New York City, there's two graveyards. You know, and every time I pass a graveyard, I told my wife that she goes, oh, there's a graveyard. But he's right. Where are all the graveyards? He's like 100,000 people die a day. Where's all the graveyards for these 100,000
people? Where are they going?
Are we digging them up?
And that's the thing.
In the river?
He says some of the most ridiculous stuff and comes out with these things. You're just like, what are you talking about? And then it sets in like a little earworm. And you're like,
he's right.
Oh, man.
Well, guys, it's been great having you. Great to get to meet you. This is literally the first time we've ever met. On Talk is Jericho, and congratulations. Huge future for the show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Really appreciate it.
I need some syrup.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.